It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
It is Friday, and Friday's an exciting time here on Exploring the Word because we get to talk with more of our listeners. And it is that day when we take questions, and then we hope Alex and I have answers. And so we appreciate your listening, and we hope those of you that have questions, Bible questions, would call us at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We will get your call on and answer it as best we can. But I want to start off with some scripture today. And we're in Exodus. And then Monday, we can start with Exodus chapter 15. But I want to read part of verse 1 and verse 2 as glory to the Lord. This is right after they've been delivered at the Passover. They've crossed over the Red Sea. And now this is the song that Moses and the children of Israel sang. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. That is from, again, Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, that we'll continue to go through. Alex, Exodus has been a great, great study. I'm glad we're going through it, brother.
Well, me too. And I love that verse. You know, you read verse 2 there, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. You know, that's very much like Isaiah 12, verse 2, that says, the Lord is my strength and my song, my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Doesn't Scripture complement Scripture, Bert? We read these verses, that they re-remind us and reiterate precious promises and truths we need to know. Scripture harmonizes with Scripture.
It really does. Now, here is helpful for you all that are studying and having difficulty with some passages. I always was taught, take the simple passages to help you understand the more difficult passages. And this is why we say, everybody can be saved, because the Bible makes it plain that, you know, the grace of God has appeared to all men. We realize that. So take that simple scripture and then apply it to the more difficult ones. Alex, we're going to take phone calls, and that number is 888-589-8840. But I wanted to discuss this real quickly while we're waiting. James is already there. James, we'll get to your question in just a minute. But I was reading a new Barna research survey, Alex, and it's about Generation Z. It is this. Here's what Barna discovered. 52% of Jay-Z's are very motivated in knowing more about Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
77% are interested, highly motivated, and then somewhat motivated. So we're looking at over three out of every four Gen Z's are interested in knowing about Jesus. Now, again, I think this says about the church. We need to get out there. And I know you can get out there on internet. You can get out there in many, many ways. But we've got Jesus said that we have a harvest that is ready. And I believe with all my heart, Gen Z is ready for a harvest, Alex. And I know your ministry to the young people, it doesn't that motivate us to do more in trying to find ways to reach them for Christ?
Amen. I want to challenge every church and every leader listening that this generation is hungry. And, you know, the encouraging thing, Bert, not only hungry to learn more about Jesus, not only hungry to learn more about the Bible, but even things like family. It's funny, I was in a show 2 days ago, I was being interviewed, and sociologist, it wasn't necessarily Christian, but the conclusions certainly affirm the biblical view of home and family, that a lot of young people, they want a marriage and family that they never had growing up.
Wow.
And so we have a great opportunity. You know, you and I teach the Bible here on the show, and we affirm what we call biblical worldview. And Bert, as you know, biblical worldview, what does God say about marriage, morals, life, salvation? Not just what the world might dream up, but what does God say? And so we've got great opportunity, and it doesn't matter if you're in the country or in the city, if you're urban or rural, big church, small church, people are still people. And the beautiful thing, Bert, is that there is nothing that can fill the human spirit like the Word of God. Because the Lord Jesus and His Word, that is reality, isn't it?
It really is. And it is settled in heaven. It's a sure word. So go to the Word. Well, Alex, that number again, we've got lines that are open. We've got people called in, but we've got a lot of lines open. It's 888-589-8840. So let's first go to Alabama and talk to James. James, thank you for calling today.
Well, thank you. My question is this. Can you name three of the five civilized tribes? And if you can, you'll win a free hat from a thrift store nearest you.
Okay, civilized tribes. Are you talking about Native Americans, Indians?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Alex, there was a time when I knew this. I will not get that prize. Alex, go ahead.
Now, are we talking about Native American tribes?
Yes.
or the tribes of Israel?
No, Native American tribes is what James said.
Well, I know in my home state of North Carolina, there are the Lumbee, and many, many Christians that are Lumbee Indians. In fact, we have a town called Lumberton, and I've been down there to preach quite a bit, and the lot of believers are of Lumbee descent. A lot of believers I've met are of Cherokee descent. In the western part of the state, they're the Cherokee Indians. And then I've met some Iroquois Native Americans, Christian, wonderful folk of Iroquois descent, but that's about as far as my knowledge goes. Am I getting in the right direction?
Help us out, James. What are they?
It's Choctaw Creek, Cherokee, Seminole, and Choctaw. I just had it in my head. That's four of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cherokee is North Carolina, Tennessee, Choctaw, and Chickasaw here in Mississippi. And again, the Trail of Tears and all of the things of them being relocated in Oklahoma. And you go through Oklahoma, it's always fun for me to drive through Oklahoma and see the different areas that are the tribes there. And many of them were reached for Christ, Alex. That's the good part. And one of my heroes is the David Brainerd, who was in the colonial times. And he would give his life reaching those Native Americans.
Bert, you know, one of my favorite verses, and folks, if you're a Christian, you'll be there, what I'm about to say, but Revelation 7, verse 9, one day up in heaven, it says, every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation will be there through Jesus Christ if you're a believer. And Bert, I've been at more than a few colleges during the Q&A, and they would talk about, you know, does the church have anything to say about the various races? And I'll say, well, really, there's only one race, singular, the human race.
That's me.
We're all human beings, but here's where the important reality of trusting Christ comes in, because there's really only two kind of human beings, those that have Jesus and those that need Jesus. And Bert, I really think that it's Christianity alone that can solve the reality of racial strife, because we need to remember there's just one race, and that's human beings, all made by God, and all, if we will believe, all redeemed through Jesus.
Amen. Alex, do you know the first Bible that was printed in the United States?
Tell me.
Okay, it was by John Eliot, translation, and it was to the Indian tribe in Massachusetts, and it's hard for me to pronounce. I'm not good at that. Algonquin tribe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That was the first Bible. So we started out missional. And again, those people that came, especially pilgrims that came there to Massachusetts, Plymouth Bay Colony, they were on a mission for God, and many of them completed that, and praise God for that. James, thank you for that. That helped us to launch out and to talk about what God is doing. Let's go to North Carolina and talk to Deborah. Deborah, thank you for calling.
Hi. This
yes.
is Deborah, North Fayetteville, North Carolina. I'm familiar with the Lumberton area. I'm familiar with the Indian, different Indian tribes here. They're beautiful people. But my yes. question for today is, I want to know about this AI. Is it something that the Christians need to be afraid of? Is it something that we need to watch out? Is it something that we need to learn about? Is it going to benefit the Christian people? I remember decades ago when the internet first came out, we all were afraid because they were saying www is 666. And, you know, the body of Christ, we panicked. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know whether to embrace it or what. So, and the same question, it's almost like I'm confused. I don't know what to do about this AI situation. Is it in the Bible anywhere, like in Revelation or Daniel? Where are we seeing the prophetic of this AI? And,
okay.
and is it, like I said, is it really something to be afraid of? What should we do as Christian people?
Thank you, Deborah. Alex, this is one of the areas you and I have talked about, and you did some thought. You have some thoughts on it. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, thanks for this wonderful question. You know, Bert and I have a book on Bible prophecy that's coming out in the fall, and we've written about this to a degree. I want to say this about computers. Computers are a tool, and they can be a tool beneficial. They could be a tool detrimental. Bert, I said this cautiously. I don't think that Christians necessarily should be technophobes. I don't think we have to be afraid of technology. But what AI is, and you know, for the weekend show that I do on AFR, about a month ago, I did a couple of shows on AI, and I interviewed some Christians that are into cybersecurity and things that are very knowledgeable people about AI. Yeah, and I want to relate that to Revelation 13 in just a second. But basically, where AI is right now, AI is a very high-speed information gathering tool. And it not only gathers information, but it collates and assimilates information. For instance, there are artificial intelligence tools that basically do research, and you might say, you know, give me the top five chicken casserole recipes on the entire internet. I mean, that could be a request. And in a matter of seconds, an engine, whether it be ChatGPT or one of the other engines, there are a number of them, might in a matter of seconds scroll through millions of hard drives and regurgitate some recipes or whatever it is you ask for. But in the book of Revelation, it talks about the beast doing signs and wonders. And I think where people are going to be deceived is they worship some impressive technology created by man rather than the God who created man. That's why it's imperative to know the Bible. Now, I know we've got a break. We'll talk more about this after the break. This is Fire Away Friday. Bert and Alex, stay tuned. We'll come back with more of your questions, 888-589-8840.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
Padre, te confieso a corazón abierto que todo es muy incierto en este desierto. Mi vulnerabilidad está al descubierto. Siento que mi barca está muy lejos de su puerto. Sé que estás sobrando aunque no te sienta. Sé que estás sobrando aunque no te vea. Que aunque no pueda entender, me consuela saber que.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert, this is Fire Away Friday, and we would love to hear from you with your Bible questions, and the number is 888-589-8840. Hey, we're going to get back to the calls and the questions, but Bert, for those watching on video, you might notice I'm not in my regular studio. I'm in Wichita, Kansas, in a hotel room, because just a couple of hours from now, I'll be at Metro East Baptist Church, very wonderful church. Tonight, I'm speaking about what does it mean to be a man in today's world. Now, tomorrow, Saturday, and it's open to the public, I'll be doing my book, The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About God. I'll also be doing The 10 Most Common Objections to Christianity and How to Answer Those. That's really kind of defending the faith, apologetics. Then Sunday morning, I'll be preaching on Revelation and Bible prophecy. So if you're in the area of Wichita, Kansas, just Google Metro East Baptist Church. I'd love to meet you and love to hear from you. Bert, I was just at a Christian school, Central Christian Academy, and had some teenagers pray to accept Christ. I got to do a chapel service and, you know, frankly, stayed a long time after chapel talking with kids, praying with kids. And like you said with those statistics earlier in the show, people are hungry, people want truth. And those people seeking the Lord and His Word, a lot of young people. Isn't that exciting?
It is exciting. And matter of fact, yesterday, Christina was saved here on our radio program while we were talking, and we had at least three others that called in or didn't call in, but they emailed in and said they prayed along with Christina and Alex, and they were saved as well. So we're praising the Lord. God still saves, and we rejoice in that. We've got a lot of lines open today. That's unusual for us. So you can call at 888-589-8840 with your Bible question. You would be sure and get through today. So first, let's go to David in Arkansas. David, thank you for calling.
Good afternoon, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing really well.
Blessed.
Yes, brother.
All right. When you were talking about the Native American languages a while ago, that reminded me, I'm with the Gideon's International, and I may have called in on this before, but I've got a memory problem. But anyway, the Gideon's, if anyone has a smartphone, if they'll go to their Pay Store or Play Store and put in Gideon's, G-I-D-E-O-N-S .Bible.is, it's just on the site. I'm just on the site right now, and today deuces are wild, so to speak. There's 2,222 languages that are free on your phone if you put that Gideon Bible app in there.
David, stop right where you are a minute. Give me that number again of the different languages. I want to write it down. I couldn't write as fast as you was giving it. How many?
Today there are 2,222 languages.
Wow.
Including Cherokee and Navajo. Now, I haven't checked it in a while, but it adds to this automatically. Like 4 years ago, about 4.5 years ago, but now we were at the Washington County Fair in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and there was less than 1,100 languages on my phone at that time. And so in 4 years, they've added over 1,000 languages.
That, David and Alex, that makes me go back to what Alex was saying earlier. Every tribe, every tongue. Mm-hmm. Alex, it's going to be something in heaven. This is what we're saying. We don't want you to miss it. If you want to be in a service that is worshipful and awesome, be there. Make sure you're saved. Alex, mine and Jan's son, Nathan, worked over in Clarkston, Georgia, and there were 120 nationalities there in that Clarkston area. And ever so often, once a quarter, seems like many of the churches would come together from all the different languages, and they would host. And Jan and I got to be there with Nathan and his family one of those Sunday mornings when you had all these languages from all the different ones that was, and what they'd do in singing, they would sing in their tongue, and the rhythm was the same, everything. And since you knew the songs and they were on PowerPoint, you knew what all the other languages are saying as well. I thought I was in a little bit of heaven then. It's going to be something. David, thank you for the work you do with Gideons. Alex, go ahead.
We love the Gideons, and we've known a lot of them. And, you know, I was in Colorado a couple of years ago, and a man gave me this lovely Gideon New Testament. It was just so nice. And I had it on the plane, flying Colorado back to North Carolina. The man sitting beside me got to share the gospel. He accepted Christ, and I gave him that Gideon New Testament as his first Bible. So, folks, I got to tell you, if you want some joy and just to do things that you know matter for eternity, get in the habit of talking to people about Christ and have a scripture to give them. And, Bert, isn't this just what it's all about as a Christian, to help others find the Lord as well?
It is, to know Him and make Him known. And I say this, a word fitly spoken will go further than you would ever dream you could. Saying, how can I pray for you? Sharing a scripture. Even, I would say this, bowing your head in a restaurant before you eat the food.
That's a witness.
It is. One of my favorite paintings is, who was the great painter that had that woman and her son, and they was in this crowded place, and they bowed their head.
Oh, Norman Rockwell.
Norman Rockwell. And they bowed their head, and all the men around them, you could see them. You know, it's one of my favorite paintings, and that is a testimony. Thank you, David, for what you do. Let's go to North Carolina and talk to Scott. Scott, thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for having me. Just been thinking about this question for a while. The descendants of David being as numerous as the sand of the seashore, basically, or the stars in the sky. Now, Is that mean that, I mean, like later on in heaven, will there be procreation after that? I mean, will we be having children after that? I mean, how would those numbers ever calculate?
Okay. Go ahead, Alex. Yeah.
Yeah, that's in Genesis 26, verse 4. God really made that promise to Abraham. I will make of you a great nation. And really, God gave Abraham a threefold promise. And Dr. H.L. Wilmington, he kind of alliterated, he said it would be seed, soil, and Savior. Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the heavens, and everywhere your foot treads, I'm going to give you that land. That's the Holy Land, belongs to the people of Israel. And then through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. In other words, that it would be through the lineage of Abraham that Jesus, the Messiah, would be born. Now, Bert, I want to say this. How many stars are up in the heavens? Only God knows. I really think that was kind of a euphemism. Listen to this, folks. See, Sarah and Abraham were old, and they had no children. And God says, look, I'm going to send you a descendant, Isaac, and he would be your child and ultimately a great nation. And certainly God has made of Abraham a great nation. Now, are the number of Jews that have ever lived more numerous than the stars? I really think what it means ultimately is, here's the thing, and Romans 4 alludes to this. If you're a born-again believer, you're a child of Abraham.
You're a seed of Abraham. Yeah.
Yes. And right now, on planet Earth, there are roughly 3 billion people that are Christians. And how many have ever been Christians? Billions. So in a way, the true children of Abraham, the believers in Messiah, probably are more numerous than the stars in the heavens, Bert. And that's the fulfillment of that Genesis 26:4 promise.
Let's go back to that. By the way, we've got lines open. That number is 888-589-8840 if you have your Bible question. Alex, the seed, again, you know, Isaac would be born. The soil, Israel, he said, I'm going to take you to a land that I will show you, and they're occupying that right now. And from Abraham and his descendants would come the Savior. That's an awesome outline. And the soil, though, that is why it's so important, I believe with all my heart, for those of us that are believers, really pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we've had, right now, you know, we had those two little boys returned, supposedly with their mother's bodies, and they did the testing, and it was not the mother. And so we need to pray. It's they got a quiet time right now, but I'm not sure how long it's going to last. And so we always want to pray for Israel, don't we?
Well, we really do, and that's Psalm 122, verse 6, that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I want to say we're living in exciting times. And by the way, folks, if you have a Bible question or you want to enter in with a comment, the number is 888-589-8840. We are live today, so call in, 888-589-8840. But, Bert, in March of A.D. 70, Rome ransacked Jerusalem, and for more than 1,900 years, there was no nation of Israel. And you know, there was a time when atheists and skeptics, they said, oh, the Bible must be false, because the Bible says near the end of time, Israel would be a nation again. Well, fast forward to May of 1948, and you know, we're coming up on 77 years, Israel was reborn. I rejoice that the first country that acknowledged the nation of Israel in May of 1948, President Harry Truman, a Christian, said the United States recognizes the sovereign nation of Israel. And so, folks, we're living in times of fulfilled Bible prophecy. One of the great nations of the world today is Israel. And I got to tell you, I think the greatest favor any president could ever do the American people is to stand with Israel. Our president does stand with Israel, and I, as a citizen, I stand with and for Israel. Don't you, Bert?
I do. Praise God. Let's all do. Hey, we just got a message from Jim Stanley, who, you know, pinch hits for us on Exploring the Word, said, just got an email letting us know that Paula recommitted her life to Christ because of yesterday's program with Christina. So the number of people that we're hearing from that really God touched their hearts and their lives yesterday. And that's why we love to do Exploring the Word. That's one of the reasons we do more than just do Bible study. We do the Q&A, and we talk about that, and hopefully people will come to know Christ as Savior. So we're just excited about that. Alex, we got a lot of people online, but we're not through with their questions. Have you got something that someone's asked you of late or something you want to share with us?
Well, yeah, and somebody asked about Israel. Next March, March of 2026, so a year from now, Bert and Jan and Alex and Angie will be going to Israel with Tim Wildman. And if you Google Wildman Tours, we'd love for you to come along with us. And yeah, I know that's a ways off, but it'll get here.
It'll get here before you know it.
Exactly. So I had a question this morning with the youth. I was in front of Central Christian Academy there in Wichita, Kansas. And a young person asked this, why is there evil in the world? If God is love, why do bad things happen? And I would add to that the way it's been phrased, if God loves us, if God has all the wisdom and God has all the power, why are there bad things in the world? And the way I answered the youth, I said, well, it's a word that starts with the letter S. Why is there evil, pain, and suffering in a world? It doesn't mean that God is not able. God is able and God is good. But there's this pernicious word starts with the letter S. Bert, what is that word? I bet
it's a three-letter word with I in the middle. Am I getting close?
The word
sin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sin. See,
and that's possible because of freedom to choose, but also love and obedience is there because of that freedom to choose, Alex. You know,
yeah.
If you take that away, you don't have love. Love demands a choice. Okay.
Yeah.
And to be real, you got to have the opposite of that of love. And so sin, yes, it starts with another S word, selfishness. Sin,
wow.
It comes out of a heart of selfishness, of my way, my thinking, doesn't it?
Well, that's true. And see, we're not in heaven yet. I think sometimes people fault this world for not being heaven. Now, this world is, we're on our way to heaven if you put your faith in Jesus, but there is a sin problem. And fortunately, God in his power and God in his wisdom has addressed the sin problem.
Amen. He has. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, you can trust him. Would you do that today? Alex, the phone calls decided to come in all at once. Let's take one real quickly so we can hear it on this part side of the break. Chris from North Carolina, go ahead with your comment.
Hey, I was calling because you were talking about the boldness to pray in public at your table, for example.
Yes.
My husband and I, when we go out to eat, we ask the waiter and waitress if we can pray, and we just say, we're going to pray before we eat. How can we pray for you? And we've had anything from them sit at the table or fall on their knees in tears and tell us what they need to pray. And we've had other restaurants we've gone into, and they've come up to us and said, last time you were here, you prayed for me. Let me tell you what God has done.
Amen, Chris.
Exactly.
Hey, the break is here. We needed to hear that, Chris. Thank you for your testimony, your work in the Lord, and may your tribe increase, Chris. This is Exploring the Word, and we'll be back with more right after the break.
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
When the thief takes, when our hopes cave, you build us back. You build us back.
Amen. That's what he does. He is the one that can tear down the walls that need to be torn down and build up the walls that we need for protection. That's our God. Alex, I think you had something you wanted to share with the audience. Go ahead, man, before we go to Sherry in Oklahoma. We'll get to you in just a minute, Sherry.
Well, about a month ago, Angie and I were in a restaurant in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and we've got a speaker series coming up there, and we're going to have Dinesh D'Souza and Charlie Kirk. But we were in the speaker in this restaurant down there, and this lady asked us to pray. We said, like the caller, we said, hey, is there anything I can pray for you about? And it turned out this lady owned this restaurant. It's a Shoney's restaurant. And she said, I got two things. Number one, I just bought this restaurant. Would you pray for us? But my daughter, who is just in her 20s, they think she has cancer, and they're going to operate. And we said, sure. And we prayed for this lady. Well, I went in there 2 days ago, and she said, hey, you look familiar. And I said, well, we prayed with you a month ago. We were in here, and she just shed tears. She said, my daughter doesn't have cancer. You and your wife were in here. You prayed, and it turns out my daughter doesn't have cancer. Praise God. And, of course, we got to share the gospel and talk to several of her staff. But my point is, the caller is right. When you're saying the blessing, ask somebody, hey, we're going to return thanks. Could we pray for you? And it just opens up the door to talk about Jesus and to celebrate those victories of answered prayer.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for hearing about that, Chris. Let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Sherry. Sherry, thank you for calling.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a quick question. My grandchildren, my granddaughter, she'll be 12. And she has asked me to share a verse with her every day. So I share a verse with her, and we thoroughly enjoy that. And then that, of course, has influences her two little brothers and my other grandson that lives far away. But I would like to have two things, if you guys could give me some guidance. A special verse, number six, the blessing, I believe it's number six. I may not have that correctly. You know, may the Lord shine upon you and bless you and keep you. I like that one to share with her at night before, but also in the mornings before school to kind of prepare for her day. Kind of some resources that can give me a little more direction to help her in her walk and to kind of mentor and guide her.
Amen. Sherry, grandparents, what an opportunity we have as grandparents to there's just that something, that special relationship. Alex, a verse in the morning. Early will I seek thee?
Yeah. That's a good one. I want to give you two. If there are two verses that I love to share with young people, one, and Bert, I'll bet you know it by memory, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6.
Yes.
All right, listen to this, folks, and every person needs to hear this, but young people as well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Another one from the New Testament is Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And there are just so many, and we love to give scriptures to people of all ages, but I think, Bert, if a young person will build their life on that, putting Jesus first and then living by his word, well, the roadmap of life will become very clear, won't it?
It really will. And you were asking about some Bible studies for children. I think Child Evangelism has some. They got the Good News Club, but I think they have some Bible studies, Child Evangelism. And I know, survival kits for kids. Those are some good Bible studies. Alex, you got one to add to it?
Well, very much so. And I do love Child Evangelism Fellowship, CEF. But also, if I could share this, a few years ago with American Family Studios, we did a video series on my book, The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About God, and it's at the AFA Resource Store. I completely give God the glory, but it won an award, the best video curriculum of the year. We were in Cincinnati, the International Christian Visual Media Awards, and there were some ministries that had entries that were pretty high-budget productions, and yet what we did with the AFR Studios won the curriculum of the year. So go to the AFA resource page. Bert, do you know that URL? Is it resources?
Resource Center. Yes, you can get it. AFA, resourcecenter.afa.net, if I remember correctly. Okay. I'm going to give that. It'll get you there. Okay, let's go to Missouri. Jamie, thank you for calling.
I just want you guys to know that you are the highlight of most of my afternoons.
Well, thank you, Jamie. Thank
praise
you.
God.
Well, I am retired, and I always look forward to your show. I learn so much, and you're the highlight of most of my afternoons. I have a question. Actually, it's a two-part question. In my opinion, we are in the process of living out Romans 1 in this world, but I wanted to know. It says from verse 18 on down to the end of the chapter several times how God will let people that continuously reject him do their own thing and commit all of these, you know, just do not accept Jesus, but God has abandoned them to their own reprobate mind. What I wanted to know is, what do you think? Is he doing that? Do you see the Lord doing that now? And if so, can these people ever be saved?
Okay. Let me apply this real quickly, Jamie. We've been going through Exodus and Pharaoh, and it would say Pharaoh would harden his heart, God would harden his heart. That is something like Proverbs, God gave them over. In other words, when you go over this step, God gives you over, and it gives the opportunity for even going further. And that's what they did. And the truth of it is, there's people that are living that. There's been people that have been living that way, Alex, since, you know, not far after Adam and Eve came into the world. But then it seems like societies can go down that route as well, can't they?
Yeah. See, here's the thing. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. So, you know, I think sometimes people assume, you know, well, I'll get around to it one of these days. I'll come to God in my own good time. But the fact is, see, if you're seeking God, it's not the world, the flesh, or the devil. See, if anyone desires Jesus, it's because the Holy Spirit is calling. And that's why it's very dangerous when Romans chapter 1 and 2 talks about people, you know, following the works of the flesh, and then God gave them up. See, this is what's so, frankly, I think, frightening, that one day the voice of God is calling and you can hear him, and then another day God calls and you can't even hear anymore, or God stops calling. And the state of reprobation when someone no longer can tell right from wrong, because they've resisted the overtures of the Lord so many times, they can't even tell right from wrong. Bert, we're living in a time, there are people that are some elected officials, some educators, some celebrities. They're pro-abortion, pro-gay, pro-transgender, pro-everything that the Word of God condemns. And I think there are people, and look, only God knows the state of another person's heart. I don't know another person's heart. But here's the thing, there are people in our culture that they no longer even discern right from wrong. That's a very fearful thing. That's why, folks, the time you need to turn to Jesus and repent and believe is the minute you realize you're a sinner and you realize there's darkness and you've been following it. There's sin and you've been okay with it. Hey, let's get on our face and humbly, while we have opportunity, let's turn to the merciful God who's calling us even right this minute.
Let me say this about Romans 1. I want you to know one of the main things that you can do, no matter who you are, lost, saved, one of the greatest things you can do is to be thankful. Because in verse 21, it says, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Listen,
wow.
Develop that thankful spirit. And I just want to tell you, it will help you as a believer. And those of you that are lost, I want to tell you, you need to be thankful that you're not in hell, that you have an opportunity to know Christ. Have that spirit. Jesus. And I'm telling you, God will respond. Be thankful. Thank you so much, Jamie. Let's go to Kim in Pennsylvania. Kim, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you for having me. I listen to you guys quite a bit, and I really admire you.
Glory to God. Thank you.
Yeah, glory to God. Amen. Hey, I got a quick question. It's kind of silly in a way, I guess, but just occurred to me. I was watching a program about organ donation, and it occurred to me, at the rapture, if somebody has already passed and they had, say, their heart was donated to another person that's living still, and then the rapture happens and their body is taken up into heaven, what do you think is going to happen to the person living that's got their heart?
Okay, Kim, we haven't had that question. Good thought. Let me just share with you. Alex, you know who we are. And the Bible refers to our heart. It's our soul, our mind, our will. It's not our pump organ, you know? Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, great, great question. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 speaks of spirit, soul, and body. Okay, your spirit is that part of you that will live everlastingly. And when you trust Jesus, it starts this way, your spirit is regenerated, made alive. And then your psyche or your mind, your intellect, that's Romans 12, our mind is to be renewed as we learn truth and feed on God's word. And then our body. When we die, our spirit goes to be with the Lord, but our body is left behind. Now, we get a glorified body. But here's the thing. Matthew 13:27 says that God will gather his elect from the four winds. And here's the beautiful thing. Sometimes people have maybe lost a limb or lost a finger. Personhood remains. Maybe somebody had a limb amputated or cut off, or maybe someone was an organ donor. The organ that pumps blood might have been donated, or people have donated a kidney. But the real you, that person, is intact, even if a physical appendage was lost. But Bert, here's the thing, Mark 13:27, when the people are regathered, I just want to say this, not to be morbid, but people have died in an explosion or a plane crash, but your spirit is still going to appear before God one day. So the God who spoke the universe into existence, he is able to reconstitute the whole person.
Amen.
No matter where the elements and the parts of that person had wound up.
What a God. If he could make Adam from the, you know, the soil, the clay, he can put our bodies back together at that time. Thank you, Kim. Let's go to North Carolina. Clara, thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, loud ma'am. And clear. Go right thank ahead.
You. Thank you for calling.
Okay. I enjoy your program every day. I listen to it on the way in from work. My quick question is, I want to know what the difference is between sin, transgressions, and iniquity. Now, I think that they're all under the umbrella of sin, but is it the progression of sin? The Word of God says, if you look upon a woman, you've already sinned in your heart. David experienced all three of these because he looked on Bathsheba. He had the opportunity to go in his palace and ask for forgiveness then, but then he transgressed by going against the will of God, premeditated, so to speak, and then he was with her, and then I feel like he stepped into iniquity when he tried to cover the sins he had already.
I think, Clara, you're right in the right direction. There are different words. Let me give you this. There's, just using this example, there's sins of, and we've heard this, omission and commission, but they're both sin. So when you put transgression, iniquity, they're still sin, Alex, but they're, the Bible distinguishes that, and they're a little different, aren't they?
They really are. Ma'am, this is a profound question. I commend you for asking a wonderful question. Okay, over 700 times the Bible uses the word sin, and I'm sure you've heard preachers talk about missing the mark. Well, God is righteous, perfect, holy, and we fall short of that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So sin is that thing that separates us from God. Then there's transgression. And that's really a willful disobedience. And then the word iniquity has a moral overtone. Now, Bert, there are sins that we commit, disobedience to God, but then their iniquity is moral sin. But all of these things, sin, transgression, iniquity, they refer to the fact that we are separated from God. And there's a lot of different ways to disobey God, but here's the beautiful thing. There's one way that will get us right with God, and that's to call out to Jesus. Everybody listening, even right now, call out to Christ and say, Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner. I do believe Jesus died for me. Please, Lord, save me. Forgive me. And if you call out to Christ for forgiveness and you put your trust in Jesus, you will be cleansed and made right with God.
Amen. A lot of people did that yesterday. If you have prayed that prayer, we'd love to hear from it on the email. Let us know about it. Alex, we'll begin again in Exodus 15. Looking forward to it as we continue in the book of Exodus. Tell someone about exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.